So we'll call to order this Monday, April 28th, 2025 meeting of the Madison Plan Commission. Megan, will you start with the roll call?
I will do that. Okay, Alder Field?
Here.
Alder Glenn? We'll come back to Alder Glenn. Alder Uguerre?
Here.
Commissioner Heck?
Yes, here.
Commissioner McCahill?
Here.
Commissioner Mendez?
Here.
Commissioner Sanders?
Here.
Commissioner Solheim?
Here.
Alternate Bazin?
Here.
Alternate Wesniewski?
Present.
Chair Gnom?
Here.
And we'll just register that we see Alder Glenn here. She may be having technical difficulties.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Let's start as usual with information from our technical facilitator.
All right. Welcome to our virtual Plan Commission meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff members, if you are able, please activate your video for the purposes of quorum. Keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized as speaker or ask questions. Quick raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do the best to call on committee members in the order in which their hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed in today's agenda.
Great. Thanks, Jesse. Our first agenda item is public comment regarding items not on the Plan Commission agenda. Megan, do we have any registrants for item one tonight?
We don't have any registrants. I'll just note some written communications that were attached to your agenda.
Thank you. All right. Next, we have disclosures and recusals. Members of the Plan Commission should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Do any of the commissioners have disclosures or recusals to make related to tonight's agenda? All right, seeing none, we will move on to the minutes of our April 7th, 2025 regular meeting. Does anyone have corrections or additions to the minutes from our last meeting? Absent those, could I ask for a motion to approve last month's minutes and a second? Alder Uguerre, you got in there first. Alder Field, you'll be the second. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion to approve the minutes? All right. We'll bring that item to a vote. Is there any objection to unanimous approval for this item for approval of last month's minutes? All right, we will record that as passed unanimously. Thank you. We will share our schedule of upcoming meetings. We will meet again in 2 weeks on Monday, May 12th, and then the week after that on Monday, May 19th, so that we get Memorial Day off, which I think is a good thing. And then June 9th and 23rd will be our June regular meetings, and those are all virtual. And then we have a special meeting on Monday, June 2nd at 5 o'clock in person in the Madison Municipal Building. So that'll be a great chance to get to know Alder Glenn and get our group together for that agenda. So thanks for that. All right. On to new business. We'll start with our consent agenda. It's the custom of the Plan Commission to remove from the agenda those items on which staff members believe an application has been sufficiently reviewed to support approval with all the conditions placed upon it by various city departments, and in which the applicant accepts those conditions. And there are no individuals who've registered to speak in opposition to those items. The items proposed for the consent agenda tonight are on your screen. And that would be item 2, 3, 4, 7, 11, and 12 as items for approval. And then we also had items on the agenda that would be referred to our upcoming meetings, and that's item 8 and item 9 to be referred to our May 12th meeting, and item 10 to be referred to the May 19th meeting. Of those items before us on the consent agenda, are there any requests for separation that any commissioners would like to make before we read those into the record? All right, seeing no raised hands, I will read the consent agenda into the record. So bear with me a little bit. All right, item 2 is Legistar number 87597, which creates section 28.022-00709 of the Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of property generally located at 149 Wisteria Street from SRC2, Suburban Residential Consistent 2 District, to TRC3, Traditional Residential Consistent District. This is in Alder District 9. Item 3 is Legistar number 87630, relating to 722 Moreland Road in Alder District 14. And this is consideration of a conditional use in the Suburban Residential Consistent 3, SRC3 District, for a housing cooperative. Item 4 is Legistar item 87633, relating to 1522 Winona Way, also in Alder District 14. This is consideration of a conditional use to construct a single-family residence on a lakefront parcel. Item 7 relates to 2604 Winona Way, also in District 14, and this is consideration of a demolition permit to demolish a single-family residence. Item 11 is a land division item. It's Legistar number 87655, relating to 4313 Buckley Road in the town of Burke. And this is consideration of a certified survey map within the city's extraterritorial jurisdiction to create one residential lot. And then item 12 is Legistar number 87656, relating to 6059 Portage Road in the town of Burke. And this is consideration of a certified survey map within the city's extraterritorial jurisdiction to create three residential lots. The referral items are item 8, which is Legistar 87470, relating to 345 West Main Street in District 4, consideration of a demolition permit to demolish a 44-unit assisted living facility. And item 9 is Legistar 87598, creating section 28.022-00710 of the Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of the property located at 333 to 345 West Main Street, 110 South Henry Street, and 334 West Doty Street from PD, Plan Development District, to amended PD, GDP, Plan Development, General Development Plan District, and creating section 28.022-00711 to approve a specific implementation plan for that site. And those last two items, 8 and 9, are referred to May 12th. Item 10 is Legistar 83269, relating to 709 to 711 East Johnson Street in Alder District 6. And that's consideration of a conditional use in the neighborhood mixed use NMX district for an outdoor eating area open past 9 p.m. All right. I will open the public hearing and close the public hearing on our consent agenda and ask that we move to a vote. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Alder Field, thank you. Is there a second? Commissioner Solheim, thank you. Is there any objection to unanimous approval for our consent agenda? And seeing none, we'll record the consent agenda as passed unanimously. So thanks. All right, we'll move on to our regular agenda, and we will start with item 5, which is Legistar 87634, relating to 2927 East Washington Avenue and Alder District 15. And this is consideration of a conditional use in the Commercial Corridor Transitional District, CCT District, for amplified sound in an outdoor eating area for a tasting room. And we will start. Thanks, Chris. We'll hear from planning staff to get an overview of this project, and we'll move on from there.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Planning Commission. The applicant, Minocqua Brewing Company, currently operates a tap room in a multi-tenant commercial building at 2927 East Washington Avenue. The tap room has an existing outdoor area, it's roughly 1,100 square feet in size, located at the southwest of the building. It was administratively approved in 2024, with the supplemental regulations to close by 9 p.m. and not to have amplified outdoor sound. But with this application, the applicant is requesting approval to have amplified sound in the area, but is not proposed to increase the hours past 9 p.m. They are proposing the hours Thursdays from 6 to 8:45, Saturdays from noon to 8:45 p.m., and Sundays to from noon till 6 p.m. They do emphasize that they do not anticipate being open during those entire windows, but just a note, with this approval, they do have the ability to stay open during, you know, those entire windows. The outdoor area directly abuts residential property to the south and across the street, and it is roughly 40 feet from the nearest dwelling unit. There's a single family residence located just to the south. It shares a drive which accesses a detached garage on both buildings, but it's roughly 40 feet away for the residential adjacent uses. Staff are particularly concerned with the with this request meeting conditional use approval standard number 3, which states that the use's value is an enjoyment of the other property in the neighborhood or purposes already established will not be substantially impaired or diminished in any foreseeable manner. To get an idea of past Planning Commission findings related to outdoor seating areas, staff ran the numbers, and there have been 78 requests for outdoor seating areas, of which only 8 have been approved to have amplified outdoor sound. Staff notes that the median distance is 143 feet. We went with median, just a side note, we went with the median because there were a few instances where it was like 1,000 or 1,400 feet, you know, effectively not a factor, but we wanted to give you an accurate idea of you know, how far it is away. So the median one is 143 feet. Looking at examples where, for sites where the nearby residential is 40 feet or less, which is the situation here, 26 were proposed with only one being approved with amplified sound. But staff note that there are differences between that application and this application. That one is for the Mint Mark at the development at First Street and East Washington Avenue. But that one is in a mixed-use residential building, but it was a newly constructed building where the outdoor eating area is located along East Washington Avenue, and there were no impacted units that were on site. Or the impacted units, excuse me, were on site. The staff report runs through several ways that both we, or I guess the applicant first has proposed mitigating the sound impacts. As I mentioned earlier, they are currently proposing not to be open, well, I guess only 3 days, but also limited hours during those days. They're also proposing to install sound mitigating curtains, like on the fence around the site. Staff did not receive a site plan to know exactly how many there are proposed or kind of how closely that they're to be installed. The applicant has also communicated that they plan to monitor with a decibel meter the sound and take action when they believe that it's over the limit. The staff report goes into some discussion of sound impacts and how city staff don't are wary about the way that sound is measured, effectively capturing the impacts of music. We can go into that, I think, if you have further questions. But staff have concerns with using a decibel meter for measuring music, and we have not recommended a condition to that end. We would also propose, should you find the standards met, that you consider a one-year trial period. This has been done with a Tip Top Tavern up on North Street. It was also recently done with the Essen House downtown, and it would be a way to see how the impacts, you know, play out, and the body can reconsider based on that in the future. Despite the suggested mitigation efforts, site-specific factors would suggest that outdoor amplified sound intended for outdoor patio guests would result in sound impacts to abutting and nearby residential properties. The resulting sound levels and impacts to surrounding properties will vary based on several factors, including the actual level of amplified sound, location, setup of stage and speakers, size of equipment, and performing ensembles, on-site mitigation efforts, the frequency of timing of events, etc. However, while the applicant and staff have suggested a variety of measures that could potentially reduce sound impacts, staff do not believe all impacts from amplified outdoor sound can be resolved, considering the location and the close proximity to residential uses. Finally, staff would like to address MGO 28. Section 28.186, parent 6, parent B, parent 1, which states, before granting a conditional use, the Plan Commission may stipulate conditions and restrictions on the establishment, location, construction, maintenance, and operation of the conditional use. In doing so, the Plan Commission may consider overdue taxes and or fees and the applicant's history of compliance with relevant ordinances and approvals. Staff notes that in October of last year, a City of Madison building inspection enforcement notice was sent to the applicant, notifying them that they were in violation of the supplemental regulations, you know, the hours after 9 p.m. and amplified sound. Staff note that there was no citation or fees made, but they were notified. Staff note that while in and of itself, it is not grounds for denial, staff believe that the Planning Commission might find that relevant given the current proposal. There have been a number of public comments, some for and some against, that have been received. Those have been posted in the legislative file. And I would just note that I guess the once in turn. Planning Commission, the Planning Division recommends that the following to the Planning Commission regarding 2927 East Washington Avenue. We recommend that the Planning Commission find that the conditional use standards, mainly number 3, are not met and place the request on file without prejudice. In placing the conditional use request on file without prejudice, the Planning Commission must provide findings of fact listing the standard that has not been met and the reasons the standards were not met. However, in the alternative, should the Planning Commission find that the standards and criteria for approval are met, staff recommend the approval is subject to input at this public hearing and conditions recommended from reviewing agencies. Staff have listed several conditions at the end of the staff report that we recommend if you do find the standards met. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. We do have registrants for this item, so I will open the public hearing. To be fair to everyone, we're going to stick to our 3-minute time limit for public comment, and I'll try to interrupt briefly to give the speaker a warning when you're close to the time limit within the last minute, half minute or so. And Megan, would you call in the registrants wishing to speak?
Yes, we'll start with the applicant, Kirk Bangstad, registered in support and wishing to speak this evening.
Great.
Okay.
All right. We can hear you.
Great. Welcome. Thank you. My name is Kirk Bangstad, and I own the Monaco Brewing Company. Thanks for allowing me due process to advocate for the arts in my outdoor beer garden. My vision for the Monaco Brewing Company has always been a place that would resemble the famous bar in Paris, France, named La Closerie des Lilas. This bar was where Ernest Hemingway penned his early novels while rubbing shoulders with other members of America's Lost Generation and like-minded Europeans like Gertrude Stein, James Joyce, Ezra Pound, F. Scott Fitzgerald, George Gershwin, Henri Matisse, and even Pablo Picasso. That dream came to a screeching halt when COVID shut down my brew pub in Monaco, Wisconsin, and the global pandemic put most of all Wisconsin's tap rooms, bars, and restaurants on their backs. Thinking I had nothing to lose since I was going bankrupt anyway, I started fighting against the war that Donald Trump was waging against the things I cherish most: science, intelligence, expertise, skill, and mostly the arts. My fight was met with gratitude throughout Wisconsin among like-minded people, especially in rural Wisconsin, where those like-minded people are in a bit shorter supply than here in Madison. Unfortunately, in Minocqua, that fight was met with disdain because the cult of personality surrounding Trump in Wisconsin's North Woods is very strong, and absolutely none of that ilk liked hearing me shout to the rooftops that their emperor had no clothes. My political speech led me almost being zoned out of existence in a case of political retribution that continues today. After years of fighting to simply exist in the town that bears my company's name, I decided to open another tap room in Madison, Wisconsin, a town that buys more of my beer than any other and whose politics more align with my own. To me, Madison is a sanctuary from the worst of what Wisconsin has become, and I'm attempting to recreate my vision of what the Closerie des Lilas might look like in a highly cultured Midwestern city. Unfortunately, politics got in the way again. With the re-election of Trump, I once again feel like I have to direct my energy at defeating fascism in America and Wisconsin, and have turned my taproom into a resistance nerve center by day, taproom by night. During the hands-off rally on April 5th, people met at our place to make signs before the rally and met at our place afterwards to drink beer and listen to protest songs played on guitar. This coming May Day, the Raging Grannies, who I'm guessing most of you know, are going to play along with Romana, a trans performer who grew up in communist Russia and writes songs to warn us of what might happen here very soon. This mix of politics and art during these trying times is exactly what people need to fill their souls when their federal government is knocking the wind out of them.
Perky had about 30 seconds left.
However, political speeches and even Badger games need to be amplified. Amplified music at 90 decibels are barely louder than the street traffic on East Washington and is much softer than the deafening roar created above our heads by F-35 seemingly all summer long. To deny this simple request is to deny the art that is so desperately needed during these times. Any argument against classical music is a not-in-my-backyard argument that just today our Senator Kelda Royce warned Madisonians to try to avoid. Like the common sense I preached during COVID that got me into so much trouble among the MAGA crowd in Minocqua, I'm asking
thanks,
that the Madison...
Thanks, Kurt. I'm going to have you wrap up. Thanks.
Okay, our next speaker is Nick Pivak, registered neither in support or opposition and wishing to speak.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
We can hear you. Thanks.
Great. I sent an email earlier today, and I just wanted to kind of echo a few points. So as you know, I'm neither registered in support nor against the item before you this evening. I've served as the chair for the City of Madison Arts Commission for 2 full years now, and just wanted to bring up the example that I cited in the email around the Harmony Bar discussion, which was, for some reason, had ended up being heard by Madison Arts Commission in the fall of 2021. And I guess I turn to this body not specifically because I feel super strongly one way or another about this proposal. I live across East Washington. I've been to Minocqua Brewing once or twice, but have no ties. But I guess I continue to want to raise the point that I would love for zoning, and I know that there's been lots of discussion around zoning to in the city, given our housing needs, to be considered of the ways in which, as the city continues to grow, we're going to continue to have these moments of interface between residential and commercial use, obviously, in between commercial and commercial. One other example I would just point to is the story of Rubinia Courtyard, which closed in May of 2024, but had outdoor music that there was a lot of, if you read the article from the Cap Times by Lindsay Christian from August of this past year, specifically cited a lot of the negative reviews that visitors that were staying at the Moxie Hotel had left, not knowing that there was outdoor music that would be blasting at all hours of the night next to their hotel room. And so I guess I say all of this to just encourage that we as a community, especially the Plan Commission, given your oversight over land use in this community, consider some of the recommendations from Sound Diplomacy report that I linked you to and other things about how we can continue to make sure that we as a community can be supportive of arts and culture while also being respectful of our neighbors, and how these interfaces are going to only continue to rear their ugly head unless we think about real policy solutions. Thanks.
Nick, thanks for your comments.
Okay. And our final speaker wishing to speak is Alex Sherwood, registered in opposition.
Yep, you're unmuted, Alex.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can. Thanks.
Good. Well, thank you for your time. So we're the ones that live right next door to the beer garden. And just to add to the staff comments and to what Chris said, I have to say that the layout of this location is an acoustic marvel. That cinder block building that's around the beer garden manages to reflect and funnel like clear conversations right into our kitchen and bedroom. So if there are any patrons of the beer garden on the call right now, I've probably heard your conversation. Just to be clear, I'm not speaking in opposition to this application today because we dislike businesses, or definitely not music. I'm definitely sympathetic to what Nick was just speaking to. It's also, you know, it's fun to throw around NIMBYism in Madison, but it's not that either. We're both musicians, and we are absolutely supportive of local arts and live here because we actually really like adding to that mix. It's part of why we love this neighborhood in particular. But this situation is different and unfortunately transcends amplified sound. We're talking about arming a business with amplified sound that, wherever it goes, seems to bring conflict, complaints, and stress. And that's been our experience for over a year now. We've documented repeated violations, many of which are cited in the letter that I submitted to the public comments. It's exhausting to live like that. I'd really rather be writing about things that I enjoy. And honestly, it's been hard feeling like we constantly have to be the ones documenting problems just to have some peace in our home. It's worth also noting that in the time that we've lived in this location, we actually had zero complaints in the years prior from businesses in the same location. And that being said, I know that you have to make decisions based on standards and not feelings. So I'd like to acknowledge the comprehensive city staff comment letter, which found that the conditional use standards are not met, especially because of how close the outdoor area is to homes like ours. And I think it's the right call, and I think the precedent backs it up. We're also concerned about the idea of a one-year trial. So we've already been forced into documenting numerous examples demonstrating that this business doesn't really act responsibly when granted authority. And so a trial would just guarantee another year of stress and conflict. And honestly, the fact that the trial even needs to be suggested shows that there's already doubt that this business can meet the standards. And so has the last year not been a trial already? And so we respectfully ask that you deny this request. Thank you. That's it for me. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we also have two registrants that are available to answer questions. Douglas Johnson is registered in opposition, representing the Shank Atwood Starkweather Yohara Neighborhood Association. And Jeremiah Snortum, registered in opposition and representing themselves. There are a number of other speakers that do not wish to speak tonight that are registered in opposition, which will be posted as part of the record for tonight's meeting. And that's all, Chair.
Great. Thanks, Megan. My question was, do commissioners have questions for any of the registrants? So if you're other than Alder Field, get your questions ready, but we'll start with you, Alder Field.
Thank you, Chair. My question is for the applicant, Mr. Bangstad.
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, Mr. Bangstad. I wanted to ask about the October of 2024 issue noted in the staff report with a building inspection enforcement notice. And if you could tell us maybe just more about what had happened, and then if you've been able to take any steps to prevent that from happening again, namely the not closing by 9 p.m. and the requirement to not have amplified music.
I don't know anything about not closing by 9 p.m. I don't even remember that being part of October, but the amplified music was, I think we were just simply trying to play a Badger game on Saturday, and I didn't know that amplified music also meant we couldn't put the announcer's voices on during the Badger game. So the remedies for that is to not to not put a speaker out with the Badger game on anymore. So I've learned that now. The 9 o'clock, I have no idea. I can't even remember that instance. So we have gotten many complaints from our neighbor. And I think, you know, to me, it seems like they're just building a record to try to oppose anything we try to do at our beer garden. So I don't think the relationship is great, but it is what it is.
Alder Field, does that answer your question?
That did. And that's it for me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. All right. Other questions from the commission for registrants? Alder Yeager.
Yes, if the representative of the Shank Atwood Neighborhood Association is here, I would like to hear if they have any comments regarding this.
Thank you.
I believe that's Doug Johnson.
Yes, all right.
Yeah. Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. We don't have any particular comments other than what I put in my letter that I sent, mostly echoing or reflecting what the staff comment was about not meeting that condition, number three of the conditional use appropriateness. The only other thing that I would say is it seems to me that any of the sound mitigation measures that might be undertaken, the curtains on the fence or something like that, are not going to have any effect on second floors of any of the buildings, the houses around it. And it seems like they'd be rather ineffective than to actually be resolving any of the issues. And do you have any other particular questions?
No, that was it, Doug. I just wanted to capture that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Alder Yeager. Other questions? Alder Pritchett. Welcome.
Yes. I have a couple of questions. You know, at the beginning, before you asked for this, for the amplified sound, you know, were you involved in talking to community members, neighborhood members?
Is that for Mr. Johnson or Mr. Bankstead?
Mr. Bankstead, you know, okay. What efforts did you take to engage the community, the neighborhood? And then secondly, you know, knowing that there is a noise ordinance, and I think that ordinance is 75 yards, what did you do in order to engage them, to let them know this is what you wanted to do? And at the same time, were you able to get buy-in from neighbors?
So we had, the zoning, Madison zoning asked us to hold an informal meeting. We did that at the library. We had a presentation. I'm a retired professional opera singer. I sang a song to show them the type of music we wanted to do. Other than that, we haven't done a whole. I mean, that's we just prepared for that meeting, and that was the open meeting. That's what we've done to try to get people on our side.
Do you think it would be beneficial, you know, to once again engage the community? Now, I'm asking those questions primarily for a couple of reasons. You know, there are individuals who have hearing deficits, okay? Then there are people who work at night. There are people who have babies trying to get to sleep. And so I think it would be very, very helpful, you know, if you would go back to the neighborhood and say to them, you know, what it is that you want to do, and then specifically give them hours in which this is to happen. Let them sample the kind of music that you intend to play. So these are little things that you can do. Now, after all, the neighborhood was there before you came. And so what you're trying to do now is to become an integral part of that community. And that means that you are going to have to do some work. And that means engaging them. That will buy you a whole lot of currency. Re-engage them. Let them know what it is that you want to do. Now, I love opera myself. But at the same time, try to re-engage.
Alder Pritchett, did your question get answered? Did your questions get answered, Alder Pritchett?
Not quite. You know, he said he did it at the beginning, but my question is, what attempts are you going to try to make now in order to, or would you consider doing that?
I believe that the primary argument for this is that we already have noise pollution in this neighborhood. The F-35 flight path is directly over our building, and people's homes shake with 120 roaring decibels frequently during the day. So that was the logic that I thought would be a no-brainer for most of these people. Could you hear, as opposed to an F-35 roaring over your head, maybe every now and then you hear some opera or some jazz or some Celtic music, and that to me would be soothing as opposed to really painful F-35 roars. I thought that was enough, actually, and apparently, that wasn't enough for some people, mostly my direct neighbors.
Yeah, and once again, you know, I understand that I have a hearing deficit, and it was brought on by noise. But I'm not saying that I am pro or against what it is that you want to do. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying sometimes it's super helpful to go and re-engage the community. That's what I'm saying.
Yep. Thanks, Alder Pritchett. Alder Glenn.
Yeah, I just also had a question for Mr. Bankstead. In the staff reporter, it's talking about a plan for curtains or sound barriers, but I don't see anything for that plan or anything submitted. Could you talk more about that?
Yeah, there are... I did this in my tap room in Madison, which was an acoustically wonderful listening room for all of northern Wisconsin. You can put artistic panels on any surface that suck up noise. And so I was planning on, you know, putting those spaced on our, you know, the outside of the building. And the music was going, the actual stage is going to go against our building where those acoustic panels would go. So our audiences could hear all that music just like it's live, but then when it hits the audience and then hits the acoustic panels, it would mitigate that music from bouncing back into our neighbor's into our neighbor's house. Addressing another the essay, the sassy neighborhood, a second floor bounce is no different than a first floor bounce if you have acoustic panels that sound hits.
Thanks, Mr. Banks. Did that answer your question, Alder Glenn?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, other questions? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing. And now I will ask the commission the same question. Do you have questions for staff on this item, the staff report? Commissioner Heck.
Thank you. I have a question for Matt Tucker, since I see him in here. Oh, did he just? Oh, there he is. Yes.
No, you did not. He's here.
Matt, can you just give us a little bit of background about citations or when somebody actually is cited versus just talked to about a potential violation?
Yeah, sure. And of course, good evening, Plan Commission. Matt Tucker, Director of the Building Inspection Division. What we do, our first and foremost effort, if you will, is to help folks gain compliance. We look to be that agency. So what we do is we follow up on complaints, and we will send a notice of violation to a property owner, or if there's an individual that we think is the person that can solve the problem best, we will send that notice of violation and provide a deadline by which the we would expect the violation to be resolved. And if the violation isn't resolved in time, we have the ability to take the next step in enforcement, which can involve the issuance of municipal citations, or also like a referral for daily violations to the city attorney's office for prosecution.
Mm-hmm. And do you know the details of what happened in this situation? It appears maybe they just got something in the mail that said you shouldn't be open past 9 and you shouldn't be amplifying music. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I do. I do know what happened with this. I received the complaint on this, actually, and was involved in the case somewhat. It's a bit of a unique situation. And in this case, there was allegedly outdoor music event occurring in the backyard area. And I had some conversations previously. It was understood, basically, that that wasn't a permissible activity. And then it was also alleged that the activity was occurring past 9 o'clock at night. So our office did a little bit of investigation because we obviously need to go and see these things are happening to determine that they're a violation. What we found was there was a website posting that identified upcoming outdoor music events to occur in the patio area. And so more than anything, you might think of the official notice of violation that the office sent as a reminder that outdoor music or outdoor amplified sound was not prohibited or was not permitted in this area, and then reiterating the hours of operation also. Moving forward, or I should say after we sent that official notice of violation, we weren't aware of any other instances of outdoor music or pastime hours of the people utilizing the beer garden area.
Okay, thank you. That was helpful. Chair, I have another question for Assistant City Attorney Kate Smith, if it's okay if I hold the floor.
Please. Yep. Kate is, I see Kate on the call. Let's see if we can get her mic.
I might have surprised.
Yes, I'm here. My apologies. My video is not working.
Not at all. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Thank you. Kate, we had in public, written public comment, some concerns registered about potential conflicts of interest with Alder Martinez Rutherford because of the fact that she had performed at Minocqua Brewing. And my interpretation would be there really isn't a conflict of interest because she's not a voting member of Plan Commission and conditional uses don't even go to Common Council. Would that be your interpretation?
Yes, Commissioner Heck, thanks for asking the question. Director Tuttle did forward that to our office, and we came to the same conclusion. Since Alder Martinez Rutherford isn't on Plan Commission currently, as this is before you, there's not a conflict of interest.
Okay, thanks for the answer. Those were my questions.
Thanks, Commissioner Heck. Other questions for staff? All right. Are we ready to put a motion on the table that we could then discuss? Commissioner Solheim, thank you.
I will move that the Plan Commission find the conditional use standards are not met and place the request on file without prejudice, particularly citing conditional use standard number 3 due to the location next to residential property, as well as the prior notice that Matt Tucker just spoke of. I think that getting the building operating under its current approval first would be appropriate.
Thank you. Alder Field, I see you as second. Thank you. Is there a discussion on the motion from the commission? All right. I will call the motion then to a vote. Is there any objection to unanimous approval for Commissioner Solheim's motion as explained and articulated? And Nicole, I should have invited you if you had any other comments on the motion as well, but I think you articulated the standards that are not met.
I kind of rambled my motion.
Oh, it's perfect. Appreciate it. Is there any, so we'll call to a vote. Is there any objection to unanimous approval on this item? And seeing none, we'll record the motion as passed unanimously and appreciate the discussion and engagement on this item. So we will move to item 6, which is Legistar 87636, relating to 8216 Watts Road in Alder District 1. And this is consideration of an alteration to an approved plan development district specific implementation plan, a PDSIP, to amend the zoning text to do two things: remove the prohibition of outdoor amplified sound and add conditional uses, as well as consideration of a conditional use in the plan development district, PD district, for a restaurant nightclub, and consideration of a conditional use in the PD district for amplified sound in an outdoor eating area, all to allow a winery to be converted into a restaurant nightclub with amplified sound in an existing outdoor eating area. Chris, it looks like you're on duty again, and we'll hear from the planning staff.
Thank you, Chair and members of the Planning Commission. I promise this overview will be much faster. I went into more detail since there's considerable overlap between these two. As a little bit of background, in 2018, the Planning Commission approved an alteration to the PDSIP to add a winery along with an associated outdoor eating area in the commercial building. As part of that, in the zoning text, it was amended to include the hours between 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. at the prohibition of outdoor amplified sound. And then it listed as permitted uses, importantly, outdoor seating up to 25 people. So as part of that, as part of this request, they are proposing to make an alteration to the underlying zoning text to allow the, I guess, to change the outdoor amplified sound and make it a conditional use. And that's what they are proposing as part of this. But in addition, they are also, they have an entertainment license, and so they are proposing a change of use to a restaurant nightclub. They're proposing to operate a restaurant that sells alcohol and has live amplified music. At this time, the applicant does not intend to host live music inside the restaurant, but they would there would be live amplified music in the outdoor eating area. So it's roughly 375 square feet in size, located on the north side of the building. The outdoor eating area would be open seasonally, roughly from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And the applicant has noted that they plan to host events one or two times per week. As I mentioned, there are two alteration requests before you, amending the text to remove the prohibition of the outdoor amplified sound and change the hours of operation from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. The amendment would also require conditional use approval for the outdoor eating area, for the amplified sound, and for the hours after 9 p.m. I'd note that, again, as with the previous item, the proximity to residential is a key consideration. Whereas the other one was 40 feet, this one is 160 feet, which is, as I noted earlier, longer than the median distance to previously approved outdoor eating areas with amplified sound. But staff do recommend a few conditions of approval. One, that the amplified sound shall end at 9 p.m., not 11 p.m., with the closing of the outdoor eating area, and that outdoor amplified sound events are limited to two per week. After 6 months of operation, an administrative minor alteration process as defined in the zoning code may be considered to extend the number of weekly events. Staff note that the applicant has indicated to staff that they do not intend any more than one to two events, but it would be a condition of approval. Given the distance from the nearby residential units and that this area is separated by a parking lot, staff believes that it is possible that the conditional uses can be found met. Staff further note that this entire property, including the residential units, are recommended for neighborhood mixed-use development. As noted, staff have added an additional condition limiting outdoor amplified sound 2 days a week. Staff note that the Planning Commission retains continuing jurisdiction over conditional uses, meaning that should complaints be filed, the Planning Commission could take further action as outlined in the zoning code. In conclusion, given due consideration of adopted plans, staff believe that the conditional use approval standards can be found met, subject to the recommended conditions of approval. So there's three items. Staff recommend that the Planning Commission find the proposed alteration to amend the zoning text to remove the prohibition of outdoor amplified sound and add conditional uses in the district consistent with the specific implementation plan and approved by the Common Council and the plan development standards, and approve this request. Secondly, that the Planning Commission find that the approval standards for conditional uses are met and approve the request to allow a restaurant nightclub, and that the Planning Commission find that the approval standards for conditional uses are met and approve the request to allow amplified outdoor sound in an outdoor eating area at 8216 Watts Road. With that, I will take questions after the public hearing. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. We have registrants for this item, so we'll open the public hearing. And then again, we'll stick to our 3-minute time limit on those. Megan, will you call the first registrant?
Okay. We have three registrants for this item, none of whom are wishing to speak. First is Tim Mulke, representing Brennan's Market, registered in support and available to answer questions. David Griffin, representing All Saints Retirement Center, registered in opposition and available to answer questions. And Evan Good, registered in opposition and not wishing to speak, representing themselves. And that's all we have, Chair.
All right. So we do have some registrants available to answer questions. Do the commission members have questions for any of our registrants? Commissioner Heck.
Thank you. I have a question for the applicant. Is that Tim, maybe?
Yeah, Mr. Cahey, maybe. Yeah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you. As I was reading public comment on this that was sent via email, I noticed, there were some concerns from folks who live in apartments that are fairly nearby, but also a healthcare provider. And I started thinking, if we were to grant these changes, and that would it be a problem to ask that you not have amplified music Monday through Friday until after, say, 3 p.m. or something like that, so as not to disturb the type of healthcare that's being offered in this particular location? Or did you envision having amplified music Monday through Friday during the day?
No, not at all. And I think I just want to say, first and foremost, we're a grocery store specialty market, and our neighbors are our patrons, and we want to be good neighbors, and we expect we expect to provide good service. And this ask of the commission is just to add a dimension to our business that we thought would add a layer and some excitement to the surrounding community. So Monday through Friday, I can only envision music or amplified sound happening, let's say Thursday through Sunday after 5 p.m. I can see on a Sunday afternoon when our patio's open and we're busy and having a musician, that makes sense. Maybe a Saturday afternoon, but certainly during the week. And I know the healthcare provider you're speaking to or speaking of. We want to make sure that all parties are happy in this whole scenario. Our business is not hanging in the balance by this approval or denial. So more so just add a layer of, ambiance or excitement to the venue that we're building out here.
Okay. Thanks very much for your answer.
Thanks, Commissioner Heck. Other questions for registrants? All right, seeing no raised
Chair,
hand.
Chair, I see Alder Pritchett's hand.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Alder Pritchett.
Unmute myself.
There we go.
One thing, just a consideration, I heard you when you said, that you had gone and you have, the community is involved. Now, I know that area very, very well. I walk by there all the time. There are some things that you can really do to get good buy-in. And that's having some music that, especially knowing that there are many, many senior citizens over in that area, consider music that they listen to at certain times. And say, for example, on Monday, you can have music from the 50s or the 60s. you can include music, you know, that would, let's say some jazz, some opera. That way, you know that they will be coming to listen to that music. They will be buying into what it is that you want to do. Be creative. Think outside the box. And then ask, what can I do to make sure or to ensure that the listeners are hearing a variety of music, music that can inspire and do a whole lot of other things? There's value in music.
You are definitely hired as my event coordinator, for sure.
There's a lot of value in that. And I have seen people just kind of congregate around a particular type of music that they haven't heard before. Just think what happened in the Shawshank Redemption. The music that was played, here you had inmates who had never listened to a particular kind of music. Now all of a sudden they are really listening. Again, think outside the box.
Great points, thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Alder Pritchett. Alder Harrington McKinney. Oh, there. I think you're unmuted now.
Okay. Thank you very much. I specifically wanted to weigh in on this. I was pleased to hear that the term wanting to be a good neighbor. I know that this is not in my district, but I spend a lot of time over in that area. And I have noticed that those facilities over there are good neighbors, and I trust that. My one question is, how much engagement or ask have you done with the community at all? I mean, has there been any community engagement, or is this something that you brought straight to the Planning Commission? That's my question.
Yeah, good question. I think outside of filing the application and emailing Mr. Duncan, the alder, emailing the neighborhood association, outside of, you know, talking to customers that I see on a daily basis or weekly basis and kind of explaining what we're doing, yeah, reaching out, to be honest, the extra time I have on my hands is really not zero. So to do anything extra, to communicate that and to get feedback or to do any sort of analysis outside of my day-to-day operation and exchange with customers that are in the store, I can't say that I have done that.
Okay, thank you. That was a direct answer. And the reason that I ask that is oftentimes it's a good idea, and constituents feel that they are not included. You have an excellent alder, and I am sure that you did have a conversation with your alder, and he is in agreement. Is that correct?
Yes, he's in support.
He's in support. Okay. And I always ask the question about, you know, the community engagement, because we talk a lot about community engagement, but we don't demonstrate that often. I hear Alder Pritchett say music is soothing, and so I think that, you know, that would be great, but there is a concern, and when the question was asked, would that be during the day or in the evening, and you're able to, you know, say you're making modifications and that you wanted to be a good neighbor, but I just wanted to bring up the fact that it's always good to have a community full supporting you, and maybe that's something that the alder could consider in the future, but public engagement is so critically important to hear the voices that live in that community. That's the end of my comments.
Yeah, thank you. And I agree. If we felt major pushback or if I hear lots of concerns, then this is a non-issue where we're not going to, I wouldn't move forward with this. Again, this is not something that's critical to our business. It's just something that to create an ambiance on a patio on a Sunday afternoon or a Friday evening. We're not hosting rock concerts. That's not the idea. To be labeled a nightclub is a little far-fetched, but I get it. I agree with everything you said. I think reaching out to the community as a whole, I don't have a great way to do that. I don't have a great platform to do that, to broadcast that, I suppose, if you will. But it's certainly noted, and I'd be willing to participate if the occasion arises.
Thanks. Alder Duncan, I see your hand.
Thank you, Chair. Just to answer the Alder who had just spoken's question around whether or not I support this, I do support this moving forward. I know in looking at where this is and the proximity to other apartments, it is pretty much in a shopping center. One question I guess I have for Tim is, Tim, would you be able to provide just a quick summary of how close some of the apartments are to the location that you're wanting to have this new space? And is it in the back or facing a street where there's not really going to be much sound towards those apartments? If you could expand a little bit on that.
Yeah, so a good question. So the space was formerly occupied by the cider farm. It was their wine tasting room for their ciders, Wisconsin-made ciders. They moved, vacated. We're moving into the space after a slight remodel. But we're building out the patio space a little bit more, just to define it more as a garden area. With a privacy fence that kind of blocks some of the sound from the road, and more so just from our loading dock area. The area where we would most likely have, where we would have amplified sound, is on the north side of the building that directly faces an apartment complex, a mixed-use apartment. It's with businesses on the ground floor and two floors above are all apartments. That the nearest building is probably, I think somebody stated the distance is 160 feet or so. I was going to guess about 75 or 80 yards across two sections of parking lot. Now, that building would be the most affected by any sound that is produced from this venue, and would be the most concerning building to, you know, if there are noise complaints or anything like that, it would most likely come from those residents. I know somebody had registered from the All Saints neighborhood on the opposite side of Watts Road, which I cannot see that the All Saints neighborhood would be affected whatsoever. Noise, any sound vibration would have a hard time making it that far with traffic noise on Watts Road, and just the way that sound would bounce off the building on the north side. It would be more toward the north where the nearest building is in Cortland Commons.
And Tim, were there, just a follow-up question, was there any concerns when the cider farm was there? I know, having gone there a couple times with music and them having amplified sounds also there, are you aware of any concerns from neighbors when they occupy that space? And is it pretty much similar to how they're going to be, how you're going to be utilizing the space?
Yeah, precisely. I did hear on my meeting with Lisa last week, she did let me know that they had one or two complaints over the years. From whom, I'm not sure if it was a resident or I don't know who it was from. I can only assume it was from an apartment resident. So that's certainly noted on my end. If there's detail on that that I could have, or if that resident is still living there or whatever, I'd be, I guess if that's public knowledge, I'd like to know that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Alder Duncan. Alder Uyghur, questions for the registrants?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, a question for the applicant, Tim. This is really a follow-up to your response to question, I think was from Commissioner Heck, about avoiding any complications of sound with the health provider in the nearby building. You had indicated that in response to him that you did not think it would interfere with your plans for using the space to avoid amplified sound during regular business hours, 9 to 5. And then you had indicated likely times you might be looking at for Thursday evening, Friday evening, Saturday, Sunday. Can I interpret that to mean that if there were to be a specific condition in the conditional use approval that would limit the use of amplified sound to after 5 p.m. on Monday through Friday, that would be acceptable, that would not unduly limited what you're trying to accomplish?
I would say Monday through Friday would certainly be acceptable, yes.
No, thank you. That's a complete answer to my question.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alder Uyghur. All right, other questions? Great, I think we're ready to close the public hearing and now ask, are there questions for staff on this item? All right, if not, are we ready for a motion? And Alder Uyghur.
I will move that the commission finds the necessary standards for this change to conditional use and the amendment to the specific zoning requirement excluding amplified sound be allowed subject to approval as a conditional use and that we approve the conditional use subject to the specific conditions provided by staff in their report, plus the additional condition that amplified sound would not be used Monday through Friday until after 5 p.m.
Thanks, Alder Uyghur. And that is, so the conditional use would be both the restaurant nightclub and the amplified sound in an outdoor area. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. Yes. All right, thank you. Is there a second for the motion?
Second.
Alder Glenn, thank you. All right. Discussion on the motion. Any other, Alder Uyghur, I don't know if you had any other comments.
No, I'll just say that I think it was very helpful that staff provided the data and the statistics on prior approvals of amplified sound. And this seems quite consistent with their findings and the medians and so forth, prior approvals.
Thank you.
Really no other comment.
Thank you. Commissioner Sanders.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to offer maybe an unnecessary friendly amendment, but just to also put a fine point on it that the Monday through Friday hours of operation for the amplified sound could not begin until 5 p.m., but would end at 9 p.m.
Correct. Yep. Thank you. I think that was one of the conditions in the staff report, so I don't know that we need it as an amendment to the motion. But I think, Chris, are you... Is that consistent with the minutes that you're taking? Okay. Awesome. Very good. Perfect. Commissioner Heck.
Thanks. Just a quick comment for any of the neighbors that might be listening still. A plan commission has what's called continuing jurisdiction on conditional uses. So if there does turn out to be a problem that's brought on by our actions tonight, you can certainly come back to plan commission and say, hey, this isn't working out. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen based on the good comments that we heard from the applicant, but that is an option in the future. Thanks.
Thanks. All right, I think we're ready to call the question. I'll wait, just pause 1 second for any further discussion. And seeing none, is there any objection to unanimous approval for Alder Uguer's motion as seconded? All right, and seeing none, we'll record that item as passed unanimously. Thanks again, and thanks to the registrants for their participation. We'll now move to part of our agenda for member announcements, communications, and business items. Do any members of the commission have business items or announcements to discuss with the group? All right, and seeing none, we'll move to the secretary's report.
All right, thank you, Chair. Just a couple brief things to note. At our May 12th meeting, we have a couple business items related to committee appointments, and particularly resident committee appointments. I did share a note with all of you, I believe a week or so ago, about that process, and anticipate that for those of you whose terms officially end at the end of this week, we anticipate having a 90-day extension to your term of service while the appointments are being considered for the next term, the next multi-year term for those positions. So please reach out if you have any questions about that process or about your position on the Plan Commission. I do anticipate that when we have our appointments to our resident committee appointments to the Plan Commission, that we will also be including on an agenda our annual election of the chair and vice chair, as well as our appointees to other committees, namely the Joint Campus Area Committee. So just want to put those on your radar for you to keep in mind. I'll note that one of the items listed on your upcoming matters related to 1970 to 1978 University Bay Drive will actually be referred to the June 23rd meeting, so that will not appear on your agendas in May. This is related to a zoning code change that we anticipate will be coming forward for your consideration soon that has to do with lakeshore setbacks, and the applicants wish to wait for your consideration of this request until after that ordinance change has been considered by the Common Council. There are other things listed here on your agenda, and we'll add to that list of upcoming matters the two referrals that were made as part of your consent agenda tonight. But that's all I have for you this evening.
Thanks, Megan. All right, I think we're ready for a motion to adjourn. I could ask Alder Field, thank you. And Commissioner Solheim, thank you. Any objection to unanimous approval for our motion to adjourn? And seeing none, we'll stand adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate the good discussions tonight. Have a good night.
Thank you all. Good night.